Today's episode of A Waste of Time with It's the Real is sponsored by Casper. Get $50 towards any mattress purchase by visiting www.casper.com/waste and using the promo code WASTE.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Eric.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Just wanted to give a warm welcome to all the nerds who listened to last week's episode of A Waste of Time with It's the Real, which featured Just Blaze and Phil Chang talking about Star Wars.
Yes, a movie that neither of us has ever seen.
And guess what? We still haven't seen it.
So, yeah, in your face.
The victory is ours.
Or theirs, I don't know.
Whatever. Today's episode features a couple of our friends.
Nick Catchstubbs and Karen Rose.
Yeah, and shouts to them. They have amazing careers, which we get into. Nick happens to be the co-CEO and co-founder of Fool's Gold Records. And Karen Rose is a celebrity bedazzler.
Yeah.
Also designing sunglasses for people like
Katy Perry, Rihanna, Paris Hilton.
Just a whole bunch of amazing people,
yeah.
Including these two fools right here.
Yeah, she gave us glasses for one of our shows.
So shouts to them. Enjoy this episode, and here we go. Yo, what up? It's Eric, a.k.a. Steady Leaning, a.k.a. Didn't Have My VA Juice This Morning.
Yo, what up? It's Jeff, a.k.a. Go-Go Gadget Arms, a.k.a. Extendos on Extendos.
Yo, what's up? It's Karen Rose Gold. Home Depot represent.
Oh, that's because you're orange. Yeah, and this is Nick Ketchups, and I'm just not feeling nicknamey right now.
Nicknamey?
Yeah. No, I gotta get amped up. Like, I feel like let's have some vegetables.
Okay.
And then like maybe like in the closing segment, I'll
yep. just like break in the middle.
I know.
Yeah.
But
okay.
We should say that this is a waste of time, but this is the real.
How come you don't have like an actual like little, you know, sampler with the fucking buttons, like a little instant replay for the bomb drop?
We're only 20 episodes in, so okay. We're just getting started, but we should.
Are we your 20th anniversary?
You are.
Yeah.
Is that like,
oh
what?
wait, are you 19? It might be 19. I don't know.
That sounds kind of hotter, so I'll
so,
take
yeah, but yeah. is the goal eventually to have like the sort of like Marc Maron style sponsor where you shout them out and then they pay for the air horn?
We do have sponsors.
Oh shit.
And this week it's Casper. Shout out to them.
Yes, we have one.
We have a Casper. It's
Talk
fucking
about
amazing.
It. Did you get it because of the advertisements on the trains?
No, I hate the advertisements on the trains. They're like, and
no,
I'm,
you
I'm,
don't.
I'm, no. Look. I'm kind of inherently a sort of whimsical person.
Yeah.
But there's something about like the narrative of the cartoons that mm-hmm. bothers me. Like I try to reason with it. I feel like in general when I see ads on the subway, like I'm trying really hard not to have to like interact with someone.
Yeah.
So I'm like just getting deep into it. Like what was the
this
company?
This is true.
The company with the shitty logo that made us really mad.
Grubhub?
No.
Handy?
Handy. The Handy
yeah,
logo.
And
terrible
so,
logo.
So
terrible
so the,
logo.
It has like, oh, look, we made the H and the Y and we flipped their mouths. Like,
yeah.
Dog. But anyway, Casper, their Subway-based print advertisement aside, which is actually, you know, classy and well-made for what it is.
Sure.
Just me personally, I'm kind of, you know, not feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
But as a mattress.
Yes.
Spot on.
Oh, it's incredible.
You guys yeah. can sleep through the night.
We and
it's
actually
legit the best mattress I've ever slept
we,
on.
We got that via word of mouth.
Yeah, actually, do you really want to know the story about how I found the Casper
Please?
Mattress thing? I was Instagram lurking a guy that I used to date, and he had a post about it, and I was like, what's this? And that's why we have the Casper mattress.
2015, guys.
It's what a
the
time
real.
Let me just say, we have Karen Rose and Nick Catchstubbs here. Because this is a food podcast, we should probably say that we got a text from Karen last night saying,
in all caps,
you would prefer vegetables, and so we made you some vegetables. We roasted
some roasted vegetables.
Roasted vegetables.
Yeah.
With optional blue cheese for those of us who wanted it. But there's like
or
red
lactose
onions.
Intolerant.
That's true.
Right.
Who can handle it? Boston lettuce topped by
some red onions
and
some
sweet potatoes and
is this a family recipe
zucchini?
Or did you Google?
It's the Martha Stewart family recipe.
Oh snap.
This is actually really quite delicious.
Oh good. Well
I'm very happy right now.
Good.
Thanks, Martha.
You guys are entrepreneurs. You both have businesses that you run. Do you guys watch Shark Tank?
No.
Your mom bought me the socks that were on Shark Tank?
That's true,
what do
she
the socks
did.
Do?
They're very comfortable. They're called Bomba. They're very comfortable.
Yeah, I mean, they made it past, like, you know, FUBU standards. So.
But you guys don't watch the show itself. I feel like with that
reality TV in general just gives me a lot of anxiety and makes me very mad.
Right.
And I try to avoid things that make me mad.
We watch Wahlburgers.
Okay.
Oh, wow. And, we sure do. And,
but that's reality
and,
TV.
And like DVDs of like Real World Season 1.
Wow.
But that's like the full spectrum of our reality.
And, sure. Oh, no, no. And Vanilla Ice Project.
Oh, yeah. Vanilla Ice is building a house. We're fucking with it. Like,
you're there. You're there. Yeah.
Uno. And also, and Cupcake Wars and Donut Wars. On
I wouldn't,
the,
I wouldn't
wow,
go,
you've gone
I,
from
no,
zero
no, no,
to
yeah.
a lot.
But
right
I
now.
Wouldn't call cooking shows reality television per se.
Okay. Fair.
They're fair.
Yeah. And the Vanilla Ice, you know what? There's like, there's an end result.
Okay.
And a sort of non-narrative. Like, they're not sort of, like, teasing out weird storylines of Vanilla Ice and the other guy from VIP that hammers shit for him. Like, over the course of a season, like, taking, like, weird cast-aside glances and it's like, what's wrong with Billy? You know?
Right. You'd much rather just see if Vanilla
Ice. They're
not
Ice trying
can...
to, like, you know, stir up the drama
no
with
cahoots.
The Amish.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no
so, cooking shows, like, Top Chef or something?
No.
It's
no,
not reality
no,
TV?
No, because everything has to be like self-contained, I
if
think,
it's
right?
a cupcake or donut showdown,
yeah.
we definitely watch it. And then I say that I watch and you more tolerate Kix Brooks from Brooks and Dunn has a new show called
oh, wow.
Stakeout with Kix Brooks.
I saw the commercials
it's
and it looks
fire.
Awesome.
It's so fire.
What
because,
is that?
Okay, so you're familiar with Brooks and Dunn.
Of course.
Country yeah. Superstars.
Yeah.
It seems like they've basically taken his tour routing of these different major American cities,
mm-hmm.
and when he gets to Washington, D.C., for instance, he'll go to three different steakhouses, usually like, you know, the kind of like sort of cool hotel restaurant,
mm-hmm.
the kind of like cutty ethnic spot, and then like the just sort of like, this is where we cook it by the pound, like where you get dared to eat the whole steak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so he goes to the kitchen and just sort of like, yeah, I'm here with Chef Eric. and then basically narrates what's happening. Like, all right, so you're going to put this steak up on the stone. Like, just very jolly and full
He's
of life.
Very enthusiastic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so I'm not learning anything. I'm definitely
Is
not.
Is he learning anything?
No, but that's great. Like, I like that no one's learning.
Yeah. Sure. But we're missing the other part of Brooks and Dunn, right?
Yeah, okay. So when I tweeted my excitement about this, someone else hit me and was like, yeah, well, if it was the other guy, they could have called it Well Done.
Oh.
I was like, no, that's a shitty way to make a steak. And he was like, ah. And I was like, no, I'm sorry. I should have been more encouraging.
Interestingly enough, we had Lil Durk up here, and we made him hamburgers, and he wanted them really well done.
Right.
Because it's a thing, sort of like a lot of rappers don't trust food that might be less
well,
than.
It's not,
nor does yeah. my father. They have that in common.
I would like to listen to a podcast between Shlomo Weinberg and Lil Durk.
I know. If you want to get Shlomo Weinberg on the podcast, we
He's
could
available?
Make, oh, we could make this happen.
We know someone who knows him.
Yeah, it's true.
Is he a Coke boy?
You know what? He reps Fool's Gold really, really
oh,
hard.
Oh, yeah. So one of my favorite merch pieces that we did for Fool's Gold was the logo in different languages.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did one that says Fool's Gold in Hebrew, one that says it in Arabic, and you know, just bring people together.
Very inclusive,
but,
sure.
But
or it's just a shout to the Chromeo guys, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, no, but that's the thing. It's like it taking that sort of kinship,
yes,
and bringing it to, you know, high quality merchandise.
Yeah.
Available
now.
So Shlomo is a big fan of the both Hebrew and regular logo Fool's Gold.
His Facebook.
Wait, what do you mean regular?
the classic, the OG.
Yeah, his Facebook profile is him in a pair of my glasses. At the kitchen counter in my parents' house, it's him in a pair of my glasses wearing the gray Fool's Gold crew neck sweatshirt.
That's pretty dope.
It's pretty. It's pretty.
It should be
it's
said.
It's sort
no
of
one
Drake's
a,
dad level swag.
No one has. Well,
I mean, am I Drake? Does that make me Drake?
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say nobody has a better mustache than your father, but Drake's father has a great yeah, mustache
true.
As well.
Now that's a pairing.
We should really work on that.
Make some calls, boys. Make
I know.
Some calls.
Yeah,
I feel,
yeah, we could
no,
do like
but,
interview
but,
magazine.
But seriously, though, like I feel like a Drake's dad podcast would do numbers.
Drake's father has like zero sort of couth.
Maybe, but that makes it better.
Yeah.
Look, I mean, Gunplay and Fat Trail have zero couth.
I feel like whoever is sort of presenting themselves as like Drake's dad's publicist is probably a joy to work with.
my favorite Fool's Gold shirt was when you had French Montana come to Fool's Gold Day Off the first time, which I believe was shut down by the police. But
was that the City Winery one?
It was City Winery. Yeah. And it was a jersey, and on the back, it said Fanute, which is pretty amazing. Did you work with them at all beforehand, or was that sort of a surprise?
No, it was a surprise that it was shut down by police.
No. I mean, did you work with the cops? Did you work with him with the Fanute idea? Did they know there would be sort of Coke Boys?
The thing with the artist-specific merch is 9 times out of 10, it's the kind of thing that we could probably just do it and call it a day, but that's not how we roll necessarily. And so it's the kind of thing where, you know, if we have an idea, we'll run it past the artist and their manager. And, you know, I think that French and the Coke Boys team in particular understands kind of the different prongs of his appeal, if you will. And Fanute is certainly one of them. So it was cool. I mean, it was like at the time, you know, he wasn't like super hit single French Montana. He wasn't, you know, like Kardashian affiliate French Montana. I don't even know if Julius, his monkey, was in the picture yet.
Probably not.
No, it was not.
You know, so like Chopper Down.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's like if you were into those mixtapes, you know, the Fanute t-shirt speaks.
If you lived in the tri-state area, you knew who French Montana was.
Can you talk about the deal with the Rough Riders? Getting those t-shirts made.
So every time we have an artist, especially at Day Off, perform, we try to do some kind of cool tie-in shirt. And for the Rough Riders one, we actually did it because the Lox were performing. And we showed it to them, and they were like, "Yeah, you know, like we're still down with them, but like we're really more like D Block now." And it was like, "Oh shit!" But this is a great shirt. So we ended up contacting them, and they were like, "Oh yeah, no, it's cool. But can Lil Wah perform? who is the prince of Rough Riders 2K14?"
Yep.
And so that was cool because like he performed, and it's like those sort of opening slots, I feel like, are very based, you know, like I feel like we try out things there that like when we do the retrospective book, people will look back and be like, "Oh man, these are really like some insane humans." But you know, it's done with a sense of fun. But Lil Wah, who's like an actual like
little person.
Yeah. It's like he comes and he performs, but he has like instead of the Rough Riders motorcycle team with him, he has like the Rough Riders like bicycle team with him. And then everybody just hung out for the rest of the day and just sort of like is doing like bike tricks.
But they're still all in like Rough Riders like leather cuts.
Totally.
Like,
you
know, also, I will take this moment to say that I love how one of the times that I can always count on everybody in this room being together is backstage at these Fool's Gold shows.
Yeah. Which is always, honestly, the best part of the summer. This year was really cool because Miss Info brought her 4-month-old at the time.
Yes, with giant, like, noise-canceling headphones.
Yeah, backstage,
and
which is awesome.
And he did not give a fuck.
I like that.
But A$AP Ferg was so wonderful with Max.
Mm-hmm.
And
A$AP Ferg, who was someone who was a last-minute sort of...
Yeah, he just, like, sort of showed up.
Yeah, no, I mean, the special guest stuff is always cool because you never know who's actually going to make it there. You know what I mean? Like, it started out as a thing where it's like, we literally didn't know who was going to show up. So it's like, shit, well, I don't feel comfortable putting this person on the flyer. But, you know, you get here, like, yeah, bring a USB, you know? But it's funny that you say that because I feel like as much of a hit as Ferg was himself, his hoverboard, his scooter was also... A champion of backstage. I actually saw a kid in your building.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. So for the past 3 days, there's been like a 12-year-old boy who's been going
upstairs.
No, when we were waiting for the elevator.
Yeah, he just like goes back and forth between like in our lobby
and with a helmet.
He has a helmet
with
on.
With a helmet. I've never seen someone ride
fire.
That scooter with the helmet.
I definitely saw on the walking home yesterday in Madison Square Park, which is like the yuppiest of all parks in Manhattan. There were four people on hoverboards, one in like behind the other, and like in just rolling.
It was a hover parade.
Like a duck boat.
I'm surprised no one's asked you to like ice one out.
Yeah, have they?
Call me. No, that would be amazing. I would. That would have been my opener. Like,
we've had so many just sort of like glorious bedazzled items in the apartment. And the funny thing is that Karen won't tell me what they're for necessarily, jinx it.
I'm superstitious. Yeah,
and I'll tell you like how just insane that is. So at my old apartment, I feel like we had kind of just started.
Well, you moved in like 4 months after we started.
Timeline aside, at my old apartment, there is this Phantom of the Opera mask, covered in black stones,
beautiful jet hematite crystals, if I may be specific.
So I'm looking at this, I was like, oh man, this is kind of fire. Like, you know, someone's getting that Phantom of the Opera mask, you know, and I'm not thinking to myself necessarily like, yeah, you know, let me do it for the gram, like, you know, let me get some photos, because just in general, it's only been recently that I've been kind of more like gung-ho about like, yes, I need a picture of myself doing this. But for whatever reason, did not take a picture with this mask.
And let me interject and say that this was also at a time when I was basically just bedazzling like boots for Lady Gaga. So there was just a lot of Gaga bedazzling that had been coming through at that time.
You kind of take it for granted. Like, oh yeah, this will be on the Ellen show or something.
Yeah.
So I'm not thinking twice about this Phantom of the Opera mask.
I will say though, I knew what it was potentially for, and I was like, when this is done, you should take a photo. And he's like, okay, whatever, like, sure.
Fast forward a couple months, and it's the cover of the fucking R. Kelly album. R. Kelly wearing it with a model over his knee being played like a violin.
I believe the album
is
Black,
a cello.
Black Panties?
Yes,
is that right?
Yes. The cover. I bedazzled R. Kelly's face for the cover of the Black Panties
which
album.
Which is amazing. I think there were only two endings that I would have been happy with. One would have been the R. Kelly album, and two would have been if Slow Down from
yes! I knew you were setting it up for Slow Down
from the Saint Lunatics.
Have any Saint Lunatics ever been on the show?
No,
not yet. No, I'm not, yeah. Eric is saying no, like, you know.
Well, no, we used to have management actually that represented Nelly, and so that could have been a possible thing.
Actually, Eric and I took a meeting one time with a record label, and they thought that we were like working with Nelly or something. Like, they took the meeting because they were like, oh, like these guys are working with Nelly. And it's like, oh, no, they have the same management as Nelly.
As in, they came to the lobby and they were like, with Nelly? And we're like, no, not at all.
Yeah.
And they
like,
were,
can you imagine like what was going through that girl's head when she came to get out? And she's like,
I know. Speaking of record labels and more to where we started from, can we talk about internships for a little bit? Do I remember correctly that you interned at a record label?
I worked when I was in college. I was an actual employee. I was an employee, a 20-hour a week employee at Sony at the 550 Madison building as a college marketing. I did college marketing for New York, and then so that was 2001 to 2003, and then I went over to UMVD, which is Universal Music and Video Distribution, from 2003 to 2005. So I spent my college years there. I also interned in 2005 at Complex Magazine.
Did you really?
I did. I interned at Paper
Magazine. Do you have
Magazine.
Equity?
Oh, if only.
So you were the Complex was on 23rd at that time? Next to the Home Depot?
Yes.
Yeah.
Which would be the the movie was shot there.
Do you guys know that?
That was the
toy store? Or the toy company?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Was based there?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, interiors and exteriors, by the way.
Wow.
Oh. Yeah.
Complex is now in the Time Life Building.
I just
building.
Got butter on your mic.
That's all right.
Sorry about that.
It's an experience podcast, guys.
Yeah. True.
So okay, when you were interning for Complex or when you were working for Sony, did you get anything out of that?
First of all, I was obsessed with I've always been obsessed with music. I saw all the concerts. Mm-hmm. I loved it. So you know, getting paid a salary and part-time salary and expenses, and then getting like, you know, they're like, oh hey, here's 10 tickets to this show, or like, you have to go to this show, and then meeting other people at other record labels and being like, I'll trade you this CD for that CD, or like, what about this ticket for that ticket? So just from like from a very superficial standpoint, it was amazing. And like, even, you know, the people I'm still friendly with and on great terms with, like, the security at Irving Plaza. So they are just like, if you want to come to something, just let us know 2 days in advance so we can put you on the list.
That's awesome.
Once we walked up and we went to go see Adam Ant, though.
That was great. That was great.
Yeah, the crowd at Adam Ant is extra.
You
is it like old people?
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
I didn't know if it was like
only old people.
I didn't know if it was like a bunch of like, you know, kids dressing up like Napoleon.
You know what? I feel like he doesn't really translate to the millennials, that Adam Ant.
I don't know, because nostalgia, the way it works, you know, every 20 years they'll come back.
Okay.
That's true.
That's fair.
So you could have like a bunch of like 10-year-olds, you know, in Baroque costume.
Whatchamacallit?
That would have been me, actually.
Did you guys intern at places of note?
Well,
you had a real internship.
I did have a real internship. I interned for a music video commercial and documentary production company in New York called Notorious. Among other things that they did, Capturing the Freedmans.
Capturing the Freedmans, that happened the town next to mine.
Terrifying.
I know, yeah. So I worked on that film. I was a part of different music videos for Backstreet Boys, Slipknot.
Oh my God, these are like two of my favorite things.
And Kobe Bryant.
Don't really care. That's not a favorite thing.
But it was directed by Hype Williams, and his assistant back then was Little X, now Director X. He was in the edit. It was just four people in the edit. It was the editor, Little X, Tyra Banks, and myself, because Tyra was featured on the hook of the song, you remember, K-O-B-E-I-L-O-V-E-U.
You all remember, he says.
You all remember. But the funny thing was that Tyra had just come back from that video shoot where Kobe met his soon-to-be wife, Vanessa, and she was like, this girl is going to be problems, and guess what? It was. And like, I'm, you know, me and the editor and Little X are the only people who know this at this point, and you know, she saw the future. So that was pretty amazing.
Is Tyra Banks an actual prophet? Is that what you're trying to tell us?
Yes.
Yeah.
Very clairvoyant.
She can always predict who's going to be America's next top model.
But she was awesome, by the way. She showed up in, like, sweats and was nice to me, like a little intern, like, you know, and
I feel like that's important, you know? Like, the just kind of, like, basic manners.
Sure.
Of life. I feel like it's just one of those things where, you know, the idea of success is kind of, you know, like the sort of like unapologetic, like visionary, like, yeah, you know, like, we're making art here, damn it, you know, not cupcakes, you know, but the people who have, you know, careers and can reinvent themselves and kind of do other things, like, to a person.
Yeah.
Everybody says, oh, yeah, that guy's nice.
Yeah.
That lady's nice.
No, and I think it does come around. That brings me to sort of like where we are now, which is that, look, Jeff and I are, we have our own business, right? And we're
do you have interns?
Well, we did.
We did once. Okay. But it was like
the circle of life.
Yeah. No, the kid, like, it was a family friend, and he was like from Greenwich High School. Mm-hmm. And we didn't ask him to do much. Or anything. Because the thing is that he didn't know at all. Like, we didn't have anything for him to do, and
this was a situation where at Greenwich High,
every senior is like asked if they want to, like, you know, volunteer basically at a place.
You can graduate early, like a month early, and intern. Like May is spent just at whatever internship. And he was like, "Do you guys have anything like that?" And we're like, "We could." And this is what we're doing, sketches every Monday or whatever, right? And so we're just, it's two idiots and a camera.
And this kid comes down and totally slows up the whole process, because all he does is just, like, we feel like we had to like babysit him. We were like teaching him about Tumblr. We were teaching him about hip hop. Like, we took like this parental role where we just should have been like, "Hey kid, go get us like props downtown."
Yeah.
But then meanwhile, his parents were like, "Oh, we don't actually want him like traveling on the subway by himself." So like, it was just a waste of time.
So like, we all took a trip down to the Lower East Side to look at Daishikis, right?
Like, yeah, like we were all interning for ourselves. Like, it was the three of us.
I taught an intern that I used to babysit for how to use the subway.
But see, both of you guys have businesses where I feel like an intern would really like matter.
Flourish. Yeah,
sure.
You know, it really, and much sort of what you guys were sort of talked about. Like, it depends on. I've had interns where it's like, "Oh, you're just going to cause me problems," and they have not lasted long. And then I've had interns where it's like this is why I intern,
right? Yeah,
like you, all the time, so that this is my karmic retribution thing.
You get out of it what you put into it, for sure. And it's like, if you're a dope person, you were dope when you were 10.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not like this.
That spells
this
trouble
thing
for me.
No, it's true. It's true. I'm sure you guys were hilarious, you know, second graders. like
yeah, but fourth grade.
No, but it's true. It's, and so I think that it's the kind of thing where it's like you're always going to learn stuff, but you know the people who are good interns and the people that are good employees and the people that are good just in general to work with, you kind of know it from day one. Like maybe there's a little bit of a learning curve, like a kind of like come out of your shell period, but it's not like somebody like just you know flicks a switch.
Sure.
I never like for real interned anywhere when I was a freshman. I was
lucky.
I was like a kind of street team person for what at the time was Maverick
Whoa,
Records.
Really?
And it was really funny.
You were putting
because,
up Madonna posters?
No, not even like William Orbit solo album.
Wow! Wow!
And like they would still press up like promo singles. Like it was 99. It was a crazy time. And I think that like the peak of me doing something was they just put out Muse's first album. And
yep.
So the guy who was in charge of the intern / street team, whatever, he was like, yeah, we have Muse opening up for Foo Fighters and Red Hot Chili Peppers on tour in these college towns. And we need someone to go and basically like set up these Muse meet and greets for contest winners.
Whoa.
And he was like, well, do you want to do it at Penn or do you want to do it at Penn State? And I'm thinking like they're both kind of like in Philadelphia, mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, yeah. I picked the one that's like almost in Ohio, and we drove there, and it was a very sort
Happy
of,
Valley.
It was it was their first
State College.
It was their first Muse's first time kind of being in the States, and they were really freaked out by the fact that like the college students that won tickets on the college radio didn't know them or didn't know anything about them and just wanted to ask like is Dave Grohl cool? did you ever meet Dave Grohl? And so it was a deeply strange experience.
Yeah.
But it wasn't enough to turn me off from being like an intern in these situations.
Did it turn them off from America?
No, well, I mean, now they're just like regular ass, you know, arena
they're
rockers.
They're a bunch of Dave Grohl's.
You know
yeah.
what
yeah.
I mean? Like, clearly the student has become the teacher. But the thing for me that kind of killed it was I remember going up to the office to actually meet these people that had been sending me like posters and giving me like weird tasks and stuff.
Yeah.
And they were like, yeah, you know, what are you doing? And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm in college. What are you going to college for? And this was before NYU had the Clive Davis school which everyone's told me it's actually really awesome.
Yeah.
But they had kind of like a sort of vague music business program. And so I told him, I was like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm thinking of majoring in music business. And he just laughed like the most like cigar smoking,
oh
like just completely rethink your life laugh. And I was like, all right, well, I don't need to go to school for this. And he was like, the worst thing you could spend your money on. No one here knows what they're doing. And he was correct. Literally correct. But as a result of that, it kind of like made me shook of internships in a way. And I never took another one. Like it's from that moment, I just had like just paid jobs. And weirdly, as an adult now, I'm sort of like, fuck, I don't really have a mentor. You know what I mean? Like,
no,
I
do know that.
I'm a grown person and relatively have my shit together. But at the same time, you can benefit from like someone who can open your mind up in a different way and like give you pointers and give you encouragement, you know, even when you don't necessarily know that you need it or you want to ask for it, like it's useful. I feel like everybody kind of needs that. And now as I'm sort of like in a period of my life where I was like, fuck man, like I should probably like try and hit up some mentors, you know?
Yeah.
Like I feel like if I was more of an active intern and just kind of had more of that sort of early socialization, I'd be more apt to do it. Like
I can counter that as someone who I went to NYU full time.
Mm-hmm.
Violets. Woo! I had a part time job at a gay gym.
Mm-hmm.
I had the part time job at the record label.
Yep.
And I interned at Cosmo Girl magazine, Paper magazine,
Jeez.
Complex magazine. Heatherette, the now defunct clothing line. I feel like there was probably one or two more internships in there. Didn't get a single, no mentors out of that whatsoever.
But you have a mentor now.
I
as
got
an adult.
Yeah, and I found. I mean, I've gotten adult mentors like in the last year
from the Sesame Workshop.
I do have an older Muppet brother though now,
say that again.
Yeah, so when I was introduced through our friend Phil Chang, who I feel like kind of brought all of us together in, except for you and I, we have a lovely long history, which I'll get to later. Is that okay?
You're Karen-ing your own story.
Oh my God, stop. I tell very long-winded stories. It's a horrible habit. I was connected to the people at Sesame Workshop, and the head of creative over there, this lovely, lovely, lovely man named Lewis. He's such a joy, and he's such a wonderful person. He's in charge of like all of the photo shoot. He draws all of the Muppets that wind up on like every product. The Sesame Muppets, rather, on all the products that come out ever. He hand illustrated what then went on to become the Super Grover balloon in the Thanksgiving Day parade.
That's like, awesome.
Yeah. And so
he's like the Tyra Banks
of Muppets.
Yeah.
So like, you know, when Nick went to Japan for the first time and brought me back an ex-girl towel that has Cookie Monster on, and after meeting Lewis, I was like, hey, and Lewis's favorite monster, Muppet, is Cookie Monster. And I was like, hey, forgot to show you this photo. So great meeting you. And he writes this lovely email back, but the first two lines are in all caps. Oh my God, I drew that. And it's like, holy fuck. Awesome.
Sidebar, Cookie Monster blew the shofar for Yom Kippur.
Where?
Yeah. On this Sesame Street Twitter account, which is fucking off the chain.
Oh, whoever does Sesame Street social media, and when I've been to the office, he hasn't been there because I've been very vocal about how I have to
give them so much props, because they understand all of the tenets of like how to be a successful corporate social media account, but also all of the things about the Muppets and the personality, and it's like it's true to Muppets in a way that fucking new show is not.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It's on ABC. Oh my God. It's horrible.
Wait, well, but back to just like social media community managers. I respect any community manager that does not make like Fetty Wap jokes, that doesn't do like anything that's like a trending topic.
Right.
Elmo's on fleek.
Well, yeah. Do you think that
technically Bert would be on fleek.
He would be on fleek.
Very technically. Yeah. That's a thinker.
Do you think that the Muppets people or Sesame Street on the whole like all those sort of like re-edits of old Muppet footage to
Annie
rap songs
up or whatever?
Yeah, to Annie Up or
I don't
whatever
know.
It is.
I mean, I think that
I bet they do.
The way that Sesame Street over the years already dealt with popular culture was exactly the level of integration that there needed to be there. Hmm. Like, if you go on YouTube and you watch Big Bird going to the disco, it's
which
hilarious.
We have done recently, by the way. It's incredible.
And actually, they had, like, legit disco people do those records, like the pinball song, like that's Larry Levan. You know what I mean? Like the Muppets have always been part of popular culture, like having Debbie Harry and all this.
The original Muppet Show was like five of the best years of television. And by the way, I would like to, for anybody who's confused right now, there's Sesame Street, which is a nonprofit organization, and the Muppets, which all were started and founded by Jim Henson, but the Muppets that are in the movies and selling Lipton tea and all of that shit are now owned or have been for a long time owned by Disney.
Yeah. So that's a better question. Like, if you work for Children's Television Workshop, are you psyched that Kermit is a black meme?
Yeah.
Like where does that fall on the sort of like, you know, like I'm sure that there's probably like just, you know, tea gifts that are bumming you out for sure. But then there's probably other ones that are hilarious.
Yeah, totally.
You know what I mean? I think it's a bit of a judgment call. It's like pornography. You know it when you see it.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of pornography, I think that Sesame Street does a lot of like parodies in the same way that now porn does, where it's like, oh, like it's
but Sesame
a Liz
Street
Lemon
has always been rock. Doing.
But not in the same. Like, now
like,
it's like everything
I do like
is
the,
a
the,
parody.
The porn parodies, though. Two things. One is the fact that they have to say this ain't 30 Rock, like just for sort of like not getting sued purposes.
Yeah.
But then the whole like the Simpsons and Avatar parodies where everyone's in body paint,
right?
And it's terrifying.
How do
it's
you know
really,
about
really
this?
Dark.
How do you not know about that?
I will. Well, Muppets actually had, or Sesame Street did a really incredible, and this is one of the reasons why, like, I've always loved the Muppets, is because they are able to really touch. Everybody's able to find it amusing. They did an incredible parody called The Real Houseplants of New York. Mm-hmm. And the whole thing is that, like, they're all like, I haven't drank water and I'm so thirsty. and then, like, some faceless wife beater wearing muscle dude that's just shot from, like, the neck to the, you know, to, like, mid thigh, just starts watering these plants, and it's incredible. And it was on Sesame Street, and you're like, "Yo, this is so dope!" And now you watch the new Muppet Show was written by people who don't know anything about the Muppets. Like, if you know anything about the Muppets, you would never write that show.
By the way, the porn parody of Real Housewives is exactly the same.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I feel like there's also a Muppet porn parody, but I refuse to even
acknowledge it. Yeah.
Yeah, no. It's like some girl in a piggy mask.
No, well, I feel like
Gonzo's definitely involved.
Oh, of course. Geez.
You would throw your computer out of the window. If someone forwarded that to you, it would be like...
I would still be crying, yeah.
Yeah, traumatic.
Death on
yeah,
Fifth
it,
Avenue.
It would be really traumatic.
Hull up, 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 bump, bump, bump. Yeah. I love these Casper mattress, bump, bump, bump.
Whether you're Big Sean size, whether you're Nicki Minaj size, we are starting a mattress revolution right now. Take your mattress, throw it out the window, throw it out the door, put it on the street. It's time to go get yourself a Casper.
Yes. Mattresses for too long have been too expensive. They do not have the right sink. They do not have the right bounds. But now, Casper brings two technologies, latex foam and memory foam, together for better nights and brighter days.
These Casper mattresses are obsessively engineered at shockingly fair prices.
So why don't you try sleeping on a Casper mattress for 100 days? They will give you free delivery and painless returns, risk-free trial, and return policy.
Here's the thing that everybody should know. It's $500 for twin-size mattresses and $950 for king-size mattresses. If you compare that to anyone else in the industry, that's an outstanding difference.
These mattresses are made in America also, so, you know, support your country, make America great again.
Get $50 towards any mattress purchase by visiting www.casper.com/waste and using the promo code WASTE, WASTE. Terms and conditions apply. Shout out to Casper, shout out to Nick and Karen, and let's get back to this episode. Now, our mom, who's a Jewish woman,
mine too,
delighted in the Pope, every part of it. Yeah. Like,
I got
there was
so
a special,
many emails about
there was a special
the Pope.
Channel on Time Warner dedicated to, like, 24-hour coverage of the Pope. Mom was watching that basically 24 hours a day, and she would email and just be like, this is amazing. Our brother Dan works at the Garden, and so, you know, just the fact that Dan would be in the building during a
shout
mass
out to
was,
Dan yeah. in the building.
Okay, actually, let me use this as a sidebar. So people who know you guys,
yes, mm-hmm.
but also know your brother Dan.
Yeah,
is it like fans of the Jonas brother who knew that they had another
the bonus Jonas?
The bonus Jonas. Jonas. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. if you're it's the real completist.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I feel like the Dan sighting.
Oh, we have a few good stories.
I get very excited whenever I see Dan.
Well, number one, at Jeff and I had a couple of shows last week that we called the Yolono Tour, two shows. When Jeff and I were playfully breaking up the band on stage, someone in the back, I believe it was Karen.
That is correct.
Shouted out, replace him with Dan.
No, I didn't shout replace him with Dan. I shouted, I love you, Dan.
Oh, I love you, Dan. All right. Well, it got lost in translation, but still, same message.
You thought I said replace him with Dan?
Yeah, which is pretty awesome.
That
I don't
is
know.
Pretty awesome. Yeah. I mean, like, that's exactly what I said, yes.
In terms of, like, what's the better joke?
We had Dave Maklovich, better known as Dave One from Chromeo here, in the middle of the podcast, Dan came home from work and Dave was like, ah. he like couldn't comprehend it. And the best was that Dan just sat down on the chair, like, right across from him.
Oh, wait, were you all, like, suited up from work?
Suited up.
Amazing.
The whole thing.
Yeah.
And Dave couldn't, like, handle it. He was like, this is amazing. And we just kept it in. We're like, why edit that out? It's the best part of the podcast.
There was also, okay, so Dan used to work for the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Five years ago.
Mm-hmm. And he would come home every once in a while, and, like, Eric and Dan and I would walk around the city. And one time we're walking down, I think, like, Houston or something.
Yeah.
And somebody like recognizes us, because like at that time Eric and I were still doing weekly videos, and this guy recognizes us, and Dan's like, oh my god, that's so cool, you guys get recognized. Mm-hmm. And then about an hour later, we get recognized again on the Upper West Side, and he's like, did you guys like plant these people, like like I don't know, like what.
But I think that same trip, you and Dan, I didn't go, you went to like a Two Dope Boys event, mm-hmm. and Miss Info was there, and she walks up to Jeff and says hi, and walks up to Dan and is like, something's different. Legit thought that Dan was me. So yeah, it does happen a bunch. Dan was recognized in an airport in, where was it?
Detroit.
And someone's like, are you related to It's the Real?
Yeah.
Which is pretty neat.
Also, Dan used to get resumes.
At the Yankees,
At the Yankees, where people would be like, oh my god, like I'm a huge It's the Real fan. Like, can I get a job? And Dan would be like, shred.
But back to the Pope.
Yes. But back to the Pope. Our mom took this like crazy interest in the Pope. And now, by the way, I think because the Pope is left, she's taken an interest in water on Mars. which you got an email about.
See, the only Pope emails I got from my mom works for the Visiting Nurse Service of New York.
Yeah.
And so she gets all of the like citywide alert emails. So my dad and I just got all of the emails about like how traffic was going to be disrupted. We got two, like one on Thursday or whatever, and then one on Friday. Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong. You can walk from your home to your workplace, right?
Heck yes.
So traffic.
I was fine.
Wait, did you say heck because you were afraid to say hell talking about the Pope?
The Pope, yeah.
Ooh, was that Freudian? I don't know.
Jeez, Karen.
Double hockey sticks.
Double hockey stick, yeah.
Did your parents get into it? Like, was this a thing beyond sort of a New York thing?
Karen has a much more up-to-the-minute relationship with her parents.
Okay.
I love my parents. Yeah. I don't talk to them multiple times per day.
Okay.
So I'm not aware.
I thought everybody talked to their parents multiple times.
I'm not aware of their level of interest in the Popocalypse, but for me, I wanted to see the sort of the bootleg merch,
yeah,
like mm-hmm. just the sort of stuff outside of Madison Square Garden.
I would like to point out that this is Nick's feeling about almost everything at
all
times.
Oh yeah, yeah. So like this summer, I got really into Minions.
Sure.
I've
seen you this summer.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm just fuck.
Wait,
with
he's
them
never
heavy.
Seen the movie, but he
no,
loves
and
Minions.
I'm kind of worried because like I don't think it's possible. I don't think it's possible for me to hate the movie. Like I feel like it's gonna be like seeing the greatest.
Oh,
film
it's like meeting
ever.
Your idols.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm a little nervous of it. But all that aside, yeah. Like, there's just something about the Minions, like all the marketing. it makes me like an actual child.
Yeah.
Yes.
But that said, I am also an actual adult. So in my eBay Minion searches, it's really just for like the ill bootleg Minions.
Yeah.
Like just to sort of like, man, I bet you like there's some fucking fire Mexican Minions.
Oh my God.
And actually I found this really amazing fan on eBay, like this USB powered fan.
Oh.
That's just like this Minion screaming and it's got some sort of like, you know, indiscriminate Asian text in it. And it's like, yes. All right. I got a really good bootleg,
the Homer?
Yeah, bootleg Mexican Homer.
Okay.
That's been made with like Sculpey clay to look like Bane. Like I like just sort of like bootleg merch in general, and I feel like the bootleg Pope gear,
yep.
it's something that's gonna translate.
I read this article in the New York Times about how in Iran they have these families who are just like, I want to start my own fast food restaurant, and I'm going to name it McDonald's, and I'm going to have Ronald McDonald there, and I'm going to have the actual like M. It's not like McDowell's from Coming to America. It's legit,
straight up,
just taking it. And they're like, "Who's going to stop me?" And
yeah,
they
that's kind
care.
Of amazing.
Yeah, and there's a whole bunch of different chains, but just owned by one family at a time, and they represent for American culture. Serve up hamburgers and the whole thing.
This is exactly what Donald Trump is talking about. Make America great again.
I feel like the sort of like McDonald's in Iran is good fodder for like a George Clooney movie.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Like for some time in the future, like George Clooney and or Sandra Bullock.
Yeah.
Like just somebody be like, yeah.
Gravity?
You know, it's like it's a fun romp, but also political.
Do you think Clooney would play the Iranian, you know, yes. owner and
Clooney going full method as the Iranian entrepreneur.
Sandra Bullock is the representative who comes over from McDonald's to stop it.
Yeah, exactly, and they fall in love.
They fall in love. Yep, yeah.
I like it.
And
do we get equity in this?
Yes.
Okay, great.
And there should be a bunch of Muppets running the whole restaurant like Muppets Take Manhattan.
Oh, it should just be all like the Rizzo's rats. And Pepe. Yeah,
yeah. It'd be amazing.
Someone needs to just pay us as the writing room.
I know.
I think I'm high. Or just listening to people who are high.
Welcome. This is our life all the time.
Meanwhile, Jeff and I will just like walk around the city and be like, we'll come up with like stupid ideas for Fat Trell or like...
Right, like Trellmatic. So mm-hmm. instead of, you know, Trellmatic, we'll put Trellmatic. And then we'll be like, well, Eric and I will walk over to Atlantic Records and be like, you guys are idiots.
Swear to God, we tell them that. It's so great.
We like knock on people's doors. We're just like...
We were in a meeting the other day. We were just about to leave and we were with five different people from Atlantic's publicity department. And I just go, Taylor Day. And I go, do with that what you will.
Yeah, Taylor Day Parade.
Taylor Day Parade, yeah. And they were just like, is that for Taylor Swift? I'm like, no, morons. It's for like Taylor Gang, which is inside this building. You
like
work with it.
You're like so irrationally mad about it that you like start curious, like hitting things off people's desks. And you're just like, no, it's Wiz Khalifa.
But it's funny that you say that because, you know, not to sort of like cast aspersions about how anybody does their job, but I think that there's a difference between being like an actual fan mm-hmm. and someone who kind of is in an office making decisions on what said fans will like.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, plus they're just genius ideas.
well, actually, Karen,
any pun is a good pun.
You never worked directly with Fred Durst, right?
Oh, I wish. No, I was just a very big Limp Bizkit fan
right.
in high school.
Just
I was in the video.
I was an extra in the Nookie video.
With the red hats.
Well, you weren't just an extra.
I was not a red hat wearing extra. I was a plebeian crowd extra.
Oh
wow.
I feel like
was that disappointing? Did you think I was a red hat extra?
I did. Like I think there's levels. I think like if you were like a Bleach Blonde Eminem person in that
right.
big walk-in
in the walk-in yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or if you wore like a backwards red hat in that Limp Bizkit video.
Right.
No, I was
Nookie
just a crowd. I was
that's
an
a, that's
I was
a
an
moment
18-year-old like coming in from Long Island to like bumblefuck Queens. I have a scrapbook at home actually of all of my high school concerts, almost all of which were nu metal and third wave ska.
Wow.
And
wow.
so
third
I have
third wave ska.
Third wave, yeah,
like what bands?
Like my first concert
Big
ever.
Big Bad Voodoo Daddy.
I never saw
that's
them.
Swing.
That's Swing. That's
right. Swing.
Yeah. Come on.
Ska is like Save Ferris.
Save Ferris. I never saw Save Ferris. My first concert ever was in the parking lot of a Long Island Sam Ash. It was a show put on by radio station WLIR.
Oh my God.
And it was the first annual Scalloween.
Oh my God.
And it was like Edna's Goldfish, Mustard Plug.
Mustard Plug?
Yeah, and yeah. Real Big Fish.
Wait,
yeah.
Who played at the second annual Scalloween?
I have that ticket at my apartment and I can let you know.
Along with many Limp Bizkit tickets.
A few Limp Bizkit tickets. I went to see your friend Mike play in Linkin Park, Nick.
Yeah.
Mike Shinoda.
Yep. I like that guy.
Oh yeah.
I saw them open for Seven Dust at like Roseland or something. Or what's the one on 34th Street? The other venue.
Hammerstein?
No, one of the two. And Chester, the white one.
Sure, with the glasses.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. At the time, he had no glasses, sticky up pink hair, and was wearing like some sort of baggy cargo jean and an I Love New York t-shirt.
Oh, so he was looking dope.
So, oh my God, I thought he was so hot.
Speaking of good, bad ideas that have nowhere to go, I always wanted to suggest to the Roots for the sort of walk-on music that they do for Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah.
If Chris Nolan ever goes to do an interview for a film, they can play Linkin Park Rollin', but change the lyrics to Chris Nolan, Nolan, Nolan.
That's a Limp Bizkit song, not a Linkin Park song.
Yeah.
Did I switch them?
Yes.
Yeah. That's Freudian.
I think if we were to ever go on Fallon, there's only like one option, right? It has to be...
It's the real shit that make you feel shit.
It has to be that, right?
Really?
I think so.
No,
or
I
actually,
would do
or you could do...
It's the real and you know, clap your hands. Yeah. Then you know,
you're not going to shoot for a pun? I feel like that's the best.
I would shoot for a million
yeah,
puns.
No, the best thing about those is when it kind of marries a super, not even a super obscure reference, but most people don't know shit about shit. So to have something that isn't like Billboard Top 40 song mixed with kind of like a pun that's reaching,
yeah,
you know, and then it's almost like you can feel Quest of like super psyched to explain it on Twitter later that night. Like those to me are like peak walk-ons.
He really shot his shot when he did what was her name the Republican
Michelle
Bachman. Like years before like Trump goes on Fallon, like he just imagine what he could have done if he was able to like get by the NBC suits.
If Trump goes on now, they're gonna have to do Ray Schrimmer.
They did. Oh, now yeah. Actually, I'm surprised
or
they
would do
or crisscross
Mac
Miller. And make it say Trump.
That's pretty good. That's
huge.
Yeah,
it's huge.
I feel like they would do Chris Brown's Wall to Wall.
Because
he would have walls.
Very nice.
Thank you.
Very nice.
Oh, okay. That was a thinker.
The biggest, nicest wall with the biggest door to let people in.
Yeah.
They want to build that wall. Here's my transition. Ready?
Okay.
They want to build that wall to stop illegal immigrants, obviously, but also the drug trade they want to slow down. Drug trade, narcos. We were at Fool's Gold.
Wow.
Here we go.
Wow.
We were at Fool's Gold backstage. And Fabulous came through, right?
Oh, I can finish this story, actually.
Yes, you can.
But, okay, so Eric and I are standing there, and about 30 feet away, Fabulous is, like, sort of... He's backstage. And it's him, and he's surrounded at all times by, like, five security people.
Otherwise known
all,
as
like,
Street
centuries.
Fam.
Yeah.
That's his guy.
Street Fam. And they're, like...
Fididid.
Yeah.
And so they're just standing there, and I turn to Eric, I'm like... Fab keeps looking at us, and I don't know why.
I'm just like, he probably remembers us from meeting us a couple times.
And I'm like, there's no chance, you know, like, he meets,
it's
like,
Fab,
a million
yeah.
people, and we're, like, in the way of the stage. And so, obviously, he's just looking at the stage or something. And so, it's been, like, 2 minutes of him, like, staring at us. And then, finally, the entire pack moves towards us and envelops us.
So, and now we're inside the circle, which is meant to, like, keep other people out, which... we would think would be us.
And we were ready to get out of the way, by the way, because like, he starts moving towards the stage. We're just like, oh, he wants to get on stage.
Sure.
But they surround us, and so he immediately is just like, what's going on, guys?
He just wanted to talk, and then he's like, you guys been watching Narcos? And we got into a conversation about Narcos with Fab.
For like half an hour.
It was crazy.
And, Karen, this is where you can jump in.
Okay, so to anybody who hasn't figured it out yet, Nick and I are dating, we're living together. I love him because you're the best.
After 4 months.
You guys share a Casper mattress.
We do share a Casper mattress. We'd been friends for a very, very long time before that. So it wasn't, you know, it wasn't like weird when we moved in like 4 months. And, you know, so at the day off events, like Nick is working. I totally get and respect that, so I'm, you know, left to my own devices, which is fine because I'm an adult. And so I had gone some, you know, bathroom, get food, whatever, and I was like looking around for friends, and I see Jeff and I see Eric, and I see them talking to a dude, and I just see the dude from the back. And so I'm, and our friend, Phil Chang is standing sort of next to them as well. So I'm like, oh cool, friends. And I just beeline it to them and just get body checked. And I was like, what happened? And so these giant guys were like, go around. And I'm like, no, I'm trying to get to my friends. And they're like, you go around. And I'm just like, no, I'm going to my friends. And I try and push through, and they body check me again. And I was like super shaken up. Like, I was kind of fucked up about it for like an hour or two. And so I'm just like, okay. And then I just see Jeff, Eric, and Phil, their eyes just get super big. And I was like, I'm going to go around, I guess. Like, what the fuck? And so I go, and then I see they're talking to Fab, and I'm like, why couldn't I have just gone to see my friends? I was like so upset. And Phil's like, are you okay? And I'm like, I don't understand why any of that happened.
Your hair matched his New York Knicks jersey, by the way. So really.
It's true.
If we had any pull with Street Fam, we would have been able to bring you inside the circle.
Well, you know, I mean, now I understand. I will say, though, I, in a very Stars, They're Just Like Us kind of a moment, There was an article, like a little blurb internet thing about how Jessica Alba was body checked by Kylie Jenner's security guards.
Really?
Like, Jessica apparently went to go talk to her, and Kylie sent her some flowers.
Wow.
Where are my flowers, Fab?
Oh, man.
Can we talk about security at Fool's Gold from a couple of years ago?
Oh, when we had Zulu Nation?
Yes.
Zulu Nation.
Oh, that was that was legendary.
Because I know, Karen, you had problems even like leaving and coming back, right?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You couldn't.
Yeah, as yeah, in, like, I yeah, yeah, you can't do
oh, no,
that.
I mean...
And you're like, do you understand who's running this festival? And they were like, we don't care.
Yeah, they did not care. I, and I'm not
for
one
the,
of the...
For the record, I will say that I am always down for security who are more invested in their job than less invested.
I totally agree.
Very fair.
It is clearly... it is clearly a role... Where there are gradients,
yes,
you know,
levels even,
yeah, like Meek Mill, who,
but yeah. You know, the thing about the year that we had Zulu Nation is that like they were like super. I wouldn't say aggro because there's connotations to that. Like they were just like very very about their
yeah,
shit.
Very
yeah, they were yeah.
And,
very
and the crazy thing was is that later in the show, Q-Tip showed up. Like just to come hang out and
with the Zulu.
Well, no. He just came. He wanted to come to the Fool's Gold show.
Oh, that's
and
dope.
So he gets there and he just kind of makes a beeline for A-Track and he's like, "Yo, I didn't know you hired my dudes." And then he's like, "I wish you would have just told me because like I could have just broke it down for them like you know at the beginning of the day like no that's all right it's all right
yeah.
And so like, I think he actually did diffuse some kind of situation that was happening between the security and like somebody's entourage at
wow.
that time, because by the end of the night, like the backstage is just swamped
sure.
with
yeah.
people.
Yeah.
And you know, for the most part, it's like I'm psyched that, you know, the sort of crowd that we cultivate both in terms of audience and just our friends.
Yeah.
Like we're not knuckleheads for, you know, yeah. for the most part. Like
I do get my wallet checked a couple of times.
Yeah,
just
I know,
in
but,
case I had a razor blade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody's doing their job.
I know, yeah.
But,
no, meanwhile it was in Eric's cheek.
I know.
If they only knew.
So about this year, you know, you put on like this, you know, amazing show, and then you know, all of the news is sort of like Meek Mill yells at guy with Drake sign.
Yeah.
And it's like, yes, that is something that happened. But is it the most interesting thing about it? Like a lot.
It's certainly Fab talking to us about Narcos.
And then me getting body checked.
I know,
so Fab with Narcos, is he a fan? Was he hung up
loved
on
it.
This?
Loved
sort of,
it.
Okay.
Loved it. So you're going to Paris when?
Well, I'm telling everybody that I'm leaving Wednesday morning, but I'm leaving Wednesday night.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think.
Actually, if people were veterans of flying to Paris, they would know that you really don't take off in the morning. You fly at night so you can be awake when, right? So they would know.
Yeah.
They would see right through your,
it's
your
okay,
story.
It's okay. Listen, they don't got to know. They don't got to know. This I've been very fortunate over the last, anytime you get to live your life as a professional bedazzler, you're pretty fortunate, you know?
It's amazing.
I also, by the way, for people that don't know, I have an independent luxury eyewear line, and I'm kind of responsible for starting a lot of trends. I'm very important. And
I'm nodding my head right now.
Thank
yeah,
you.
True.
Thank you. But yeah, I've recently taken on a pretty awesome new client, and there's just been a lot of really, really intense, fast work with this person. And because they're filming a video on the 5th and I leave on the 30th, there's just sort of a lot of pushing these things through, in addition to just like other people that are like, wait, you're going out of town. I need this before you leave.
Yeah.
So
but just real quick. I just want to run down some names that you've worked with.
We can do that.
Lady Gaga.
Yep.
Katy Perry.
Yep.
Rihanna.
Yep.
Nicki Minaj.
Yep.
R. Kelly.
Yep.
Paris Hilton.
Yep.
Yeah, just like
it's the real
a whole. Yep. That's true.
Yes, that's right. You guys finally took me up on my offer to loan you some stuff. It was
don't you ever feel like when people offer things, it's sort of just like I don't know, you're a legitimate, you know, business. We're us, and it's sort of just like, do we really like count? That's honestly
no. I've
I know we're friends, but like there no, is that whole.
I mean, I think that we're nebbish Jews with shitty self esteem, so that's just the nature. That's just the
that's
nature of the game.
Is.
Yeah, for sure.
That's gonna be my next AKA.
also, you guys brought a don't panic mask to
we,
her studio.
We did
that.
Don't
that's
panic mask.
Still there, by the way.
That was the greatest thing that Interscope Records ever did, but didn't have anything in
you.
Know,
you finuted that scenario.
We did.
Yes.
We did.
Yeah, if people don't know, like, basically Interscope had some campaign where they were like, all right, we're going to send hockey masks that say don't panic on them for French Montana's single.
Just like their music video.
They're like Jabberwocky's masks.
They're Jabberwocky.
Yeah, they're
the kind of thing that you could rock to, like, one of those, like, Eyes Wide Shut. Like,
or what's it called?
Or Bedazzle, or Kelly.
Or The Purge.
Yeah, sure. By the way, Purge, just to sidetrack for a second, that just doesn't make sense to me, right?
What a brave stance.
I know.
No, but the whole thing with the Purge movies, that is the Make America Great Again hat in escapist entertainment form.
Go on.
Like the whole reason why those movies exist
yeah.
is to just tap into this well of just sort of like
unfounded racism?
Yeah, just yeah. people's fear that shit is changing and they have no control over it and it's bad for them. You know
okay,
I mean?
So this, like, is going to come off crazy. We obviously haven't seen Star Wars. That was last week's episode.
Yeah. By the way, neither have I.
Yeah!
We high fives. We high fives.
But I also have not seen any of the Purge movies.
No, I mean, yeah.
You've seen the commercial.
Yep.
You get the gist of it. You know what I mean? And so it's like people have this crazy honestly, like, dead ass, I think that's why zombie shit is popping too.
Right now,
because
like,
of the Purge.
Like, no. The popularity of stuff like Walking Dead. Mm. I feel like you can psychoanalyze the appeal of that and the appeal of Trump to Trump supporters and find a lot of overlap in that Venn diagram.
I think people just love Celebrity Apprentice.
The reality, but the reality is that, like, our post-racial future is going to be like Fast and the Furious. Like, it's going to be awesome. There's going to be Vin Diesel and cars.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah. Ja Rule, Jin.
Yeah, no, I feel like that is the escapist.
Oh, did you guys see that Fast and Furious
positive.
Is going to be dying?
What?
I mean, like, this might be the last one.
How could that be?
No, Vin Diesel says there's going to be three more. He says Furious 10 is going to be the last one.
That's it?
Yeah.
I thought that
that's
this was...
it. That's so, 10
so,
of them.
No, I know. So right now, in the Furious verse.
Yeah.
it's being rumored that the Diesel will direct 8.
Wow. Yeah, but the rumor is that they don't want him to direct it, and that's why they would kill the series.
Yeah. I think they need to just let him do it, dude.
I don't know.
No, you
no. Okay, Vin Diesel. I mean, what's
the
what
movie?
A joy.
What's the movie where he wears the prosthetic?
He wears
Saving Private Ryan.
No. The one where he's like a lawyer of some sort.
He played a lawyer.
Yeah,
caveman lawyer.
Vin Diesel contains multitudes. Okay. I'm not going to write him off.
You're not. No, Boiler Room, he doesn't have a prosthetic.
He's fire in Boiler Room.
Everything in Boiler Room is amazing.
Excellent soundtrack.
Before my first actual job was working building computers at a brokerage firm in the same building as the stock exchange. And I...
lived Boiler Room?
I lived Boiler... Yeah, the office that my grandfather on my mom's side and my father... worked at this brokerage firm. My grandfather passed a few months ago, but he basically worked there until the smaller firm merged with a larger one. And in his like mid-80s, he was like, I don't really have a job anymore and I'm only going in 2 days a week.
Whoa.
When they moved into their new office, my sister and I, my dad hired my sister and I because we were small. My sister was like 12 and I was like 14. Hmm. We were small enough to fit under the floorboards to wire the computers. And still when I go in now, it looks like Boiler Room. It's everything is white. There are whiteboards everywhere. Tiny cubicles, lots of date rape slacks. Like,
oh God.
Whole nine. Yeah. So
date rape slacks.
Yeah. Yes.
At Macy's now.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah.
Hi, sharks.
So yeah, that was I worked at that with those guys for I worked on the arbitrage desk. I used to write tickets. I had to teach a number of guys how to delete porn off their computer desktops.
You couldn't get further away from, you know, what you did then to what you do now.
That is true. That is true. I worked at the arbitrage desk when I had rainbow hair too. The dudes were very cool then. Yeah. Yeah, I wound up making out with one of the guys that I worked with many years later.
Is this the one who led you to a Casper mattress?
No, different guy.
Right. Shouts to Casper.
Sorry, Nick.
Nick Catchdubs, Karen Rose Gold, thanks you guys for being here, and let's do this again.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. Thank you for cooking.
Oh,
yes,
our
thank
pleasure,
you for
honestly.
Feeding us.
Yeah.
Free dinners. In the house.